I'm Robin Crane, and this is the Growing Your Financial Business the Woman's Way podcast. Listen, I was a financial advisor for over a decade, and I got so sick of the old archaic strategies that your grandpa used to get clients. What the industry teaches today is still so outdated and just doesn't work anymore. So I had to find a better way for myself, and then I got obsessed with sharing these how-tos with other women like me. The stuff I teach doesn't require giving up your life, your sanity, or your family time. I want women like you to have it easier than I had it, so you can thrive in the industry. I've now helped thousands of women grow their financial businesses to multiple six figures, some even seven figures per year. So on this podcast, you're going to get an inside look at how they did it so you can do it too. Let's dive into the show.
Hey, 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 I'm here with Allison Walsh, and I'm super excited because Allison and I met at this mastermind event. It was like the most awkward first meeting that was also brought us so close together so fast because Lisa Nichols, this amazing motivational speaker, was leading this women's group called the Unicorn Club. And she was like, you have a partner, and you're, and she's like, immediately, like, I'm going to ask all these really deep questions that you're not going to want to reveal, and extreme authenticity and vulnerability immediately. And then we even had to like stare in each other's eyes awkwardly, which I think is really the hardest exercise for me. But that was my first, you know, interaction with Allison Walsh. Is that, I mean, that's what you remember. Was that awkward for you, or was it just me? I mean, I love looking into your beautiful eyes, but it was still awkward.
Same queen, but it was definitely one of those moments where I wasn't expecting to just stare lovingly at you for extended periods of time. It wasn't even like brief encounters. It was like long stretches. And I'm like, I've never met you before, but this is great.
I know, but I know how many wrinkles you have under your eyes at this stage, right?
Don't worry, those have been taken care of since then.
Oh, good, good. I mean, I didn't notice any wrinkles on you, of course. So Allison Walsh is a JD, which I just had to learn what that means. Tell them again what that is.
Yeah, my dearest doctor. So I went to law school.
Law school. Okay. But she's not using it. She just uses all the knowledge to basically in fights with her husband only, right?
Exactly. I had to like match him. He's an attorney. I was like, there can't just be one.
There you go. Okay. So the debate is on. Okay. She's an expert business consultant, founder, international speaker, influential leader, and certified positive psychology coach. Not negative psychology goes. That seems very, very specific. By age 30, Allison became the vice president of a company destined for unicorn status, which she helped build from the ground up. She's been recognized for business accomplishments, highlighted in publications like Forbes, Orlando Business Journal, won multiple awards. I know when I met her, I was like, damn, this chick is amazing. Multiple awards. I got to keep reading here for her philanthropy, raising over $2 million for eating disorders prevention and awareness, and serves on numerous nonprofit boards. I know when I met her, I was like, how do you get equity? It sounds like you've done a lot of cool things with that and exiting companies. And that seems like a really good play. And I was just picking your brain a lot around that. So, but today, finally, with this amazing introduction, we really want to talk about how to build your brand to build your business. And tips specifically to enhance your confidence and mindset. So with all this amazing background, not backwards, Allison Walsh, what do you got? I didn't ask you a question. Just tell me everything, you know. I don't know. Tell me a little bit about yourself and why you're so into this brand stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you kind of set the stage as far as like, I've been doing a lot of work over the years in the philanthropy side of the house. So actually I started building my brand when I was 18 years old. I didn't even realize what I was doing. And, you know, I went through my own struggle with eating disorders when I was in high school. And when I was 18, I was like, I want to do something about it. I want to use my voice to help other people. And so I started on this mission of just continuing to share my story, creating opportunities to bring people together. And, you know, along this whole path, I was continuing to build momentum around my brand, right? So I was really turning my mess into my message. I was leaning into, you know, my own story to propel not only my mission forward, but it was also propelling me forward. And as a result, I gained a lot of momentum early on in my career, had some really wonderful opportunities to start speaking on stages, to really continuing to align with organizations, again, building momentum behind the brand, and doors just kept opening for me. So by the time I was in my mid-20s, other people had started to come to me and say, hey, like, I noticed you've done this, you know, with your story, and now you've got this really cool career where you're literally starting companies and you know, being able to do this work on a regular basis, can you help me do this for me too? And so that was really where it started. And I started working with a lot of younger women during that period of time, and then a lot more professional women as I continued to advance in my career and was sitting at more influential tables and really surrounded by other women who were blazing trails, but just didn't know how to position themselves in a way to really attract other opportunities. They started coming my way. So it just continued to evolve as I did. And I absolutely love it. And I think it's absolutely critical for anybody that's really wanting to be successful in their own right to pay attention to it.
Awesome. I love it. So let's go straight to the objections. Like, I know they're listening, and I've worked with enough financial advisors. I was one. And I know that a lot of the objections are going to come up are like, well, how do I build this personal brand when I have all these compliance issues? And what does that even mean? And like, maybe they're thinking the brand is the company and all that stuff. So like, how do you get someone who's kind of in that box? And there are real restrictions and real compliance and real issues around that. I know one of the companies that I worked with, they weren't even allowed to do videos. And so I would tell them like, so do personal videos. It doesn't have to be about money even and finances and 401ks and all the stuff that people can get on Google, but like, it's about you and your life and what you believe, right? So give us some other ideas of just like, what can they do for building their personal brand so they can grow their business, even if they have compliance restrictions and challenges like that?
Yeah, well, I think the first part of it is really a mindset shift around what is your personal brand, right? And there's a lot of different, more like new age definitions around it. I really like Brand Builders Group definition, where it's the digitization and monetization of your reputation. And so it's really like you as a human, as a person, right? Work and your role and what you do in your profession is one piece of the pie. And I think the hardest part for people that maybe see it differently is to flip that, right? Like they're probably seeing it as like, they work for this company, the company has a brand, they're just one piece of that company pie. Whereas like the company is one piece of their pie. And so like, when you really think about it that way, like, who are you at your core? What makes you relatable? Why do people like you? What can you do to build that expertise, authority, and trust? But also more importantly, like, how are you relatable with others, right? Like, people want to do business with people they trust and that they like. And sometimes just allowing people in to see that you are a multidimensional human and work is one piece of that is actually far more attractive and will attract even more clients your way.
So how do you know in a practical sense of like what to do? Because I know, you know, I was talking to one of my clients at one stage, and she's like, she said she was posting on social media. Now, I don't know what she was posting on social media, but she was posting on social media. And I was like, well, how much time are you spending on that? And she's like, not a lot of time. I was talking about this, I think, on another podcast, but she's like, not a lot of time. I'm like, well, how much time? And she's like, well, 4 hours a week. And I'm like, that's a lot, right? To me, that's a lot. And she was barely monetizing it. Like, she got a few clients, but they were like worth $100 or something like that. And so I find with me, especially with a tight niche where I'm like, I'm targeting female financial advisors. Now we're actually looking to branch out to financial advisors, regardless of gender, just more looking at like, you know, same attributes and things that are important to them. But when I was even had a person on my team, because I have no problem, you know, saying anything and posting things about my personality and vulnerabilities and all the things, but it's also making time for it. And I had a person like on my staff who was posting all this stuff, and she was more managing it to be more, you know, intentional with it, but we weren't getting to the audience. And like, I couldn't see the monetization of it, even at my level where I was like, I think I was attracting a lot of people who weren't my ideal client, not even in the job specific job title. So like, how do you know how much attention to put towards it? And then what do you do practically as far as like posting and what to post and when to post and where to post and all those things? That's like a huge question that I'm expecting you to answer very succinctly in the next 2 minutes. No, take your time. You got all, yeah, no, 20 minutes. Like, just, well, that's where I'm headed. That's what I want to know.
No, that's totally great. So I can just use myself as an example, right? Like, as I shared, like, I was building my brand in a lot of different ways prior to the pandemic, right? I really wasn't leaning into social media that much at all. Pandemic hit and I was like, oh crap, like, I got to find new ways to reach new people and really lean into this online space because I can't be on stages and I can't be one-to-one with people or in groups, right? So I'll use myself, right? So I got really clear on who I was trying to attract. You have to start with the end in mind. Like, who are the people that you're trying to reach? What messages relate to them? So one of the things that I do with all of my clients or anybody in our community is we start with your ideal customer avatar, ideal client. We write down all of their interests. We do a deep dive. It's probably one of the most, I don't want to use the word painful, but it is kind of painful for people as they're doing it, because I keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. I want to know where these people are. I want to know what they're reading, what they're they're watching, what they're listening to, what are they influenced by, what do they care about? Most importantly, what are their pain points? I eventually want you to be able to connect with them in a way in which they're like, oh my God, you're reading my mind. That takes time, right? That takes you really knowing who your ideal person is. And so we start there, right? And then we look at you and we say, okay, what are all of the pieces about you, the individual aspects that make you special? Where are your talents? What's your credibility? Really outlining the areas that we want to stay in play, right? I call these your zones of genius. These then become your content pillars. These become the five things, essentially, it's usually around five things that we stay and talk about on a regular and consistent basis that are in alignment with what your ideal client wants to see, wants to hear. And I always include some type of personal element that's going to really hook them on the relatability factor, that you get them on a level that they need to be understood. Mm-hmm. And so once we have those five pillars, that's where we create all of our content. And so like I stay in my five content pillars. I talk about the same things over and over and over again, because I've now built my audience from literally nothing. I've got, you know, I'm not in the millions, but 80,000 followers in a couple of years is pretty good, right? Of just growing and gaining traction, and most importantly, monetizing it. So not only am I monetizing it from the fact that I'm getting ideal clients that are reaching out to me through Instagram and in the DM saying, hey, I want to work with you, filling out client forms, going into the pipeline, figuring out if they're a good fit for one another, or, you know, there's other opportunities to monetize as well as you gain traction, right? As you're an authority, you can get paid to create content that's in alignment with other brands and things of that nature, get paid to speak, right? I've booked awesome speaking opportunities because somebody really connected with me on Instagram. And so there's so many ways that you can really lean into this. But it does take some time. And if you are going to do it at all, whether you're giving it to a team member, or you're doing it yourself, you need to start with really getting clear on why you're doing it and who you're trying to attract. Because otherwise, it's a very casual, like it's not even strategy. It's just a casual approach to it. And you're not going to get the traction. It's going to be a time suck and you're going to wonder why it doesn't work. So
awesome. How important is when some people talk about brand, they're talking about colors and fonts and things like that. And when I think about brand, you're talking about personal brand, which I think is very different. But when I think about brand, I actually kind of think it's like little about you and more about exactly what you're saying, like the person that you want to attract, because it all has to be in relation to what's important to them, their pain points and all that. And so I always say like, your brand is actually very little about you. Like, of course, your story, but it's not so much about the fonts and those things. But I will say, and I guess this is my question, that I had someone look at my Instagram and it's kind of all over the place. Like, I mean, we have like, they got colors and fonts and things, but it's like, it's kind of like not that pretty to the eye. Like, how important is that? Like, is it more important to just like share your story and make sure you're under those five pillars and that you're sharing the things that you know are important to them and hitting those pain points and whatnot? Or is aesthetics still, does it still matter? Is it? And it's because that's like one person told me it's like 75% because what they see is like the first thing they see and that's how they, you know, make their impression. So yeah.
So again, back to your ideal client, it's going to matter more if it matters to them, right? And so it depends on if that's something that they really care about. I think there's far greater weight and value in it being authentic, genuine, and have the ability to connect and resonate than it is if your feed looks beautiful, right? Like your grid is aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
And again, like depending on what it is that you're promoting or really trying to represent, you know, it's nice to have some type of aesthetic component to it where it all feels good, looks good, and looks like it all belongs together. But that is far less important than it once was. That carried a lot more weight a few years ago. And really, people are resonating and connecting much more with relatable and real. Yeah. And like, honestly, like I've even done a lot of like beta testing and testing with not only my clients, but other clients too. And the more Photoshopped and perfect, the less it does for them, right? Like people want to see the real version of you. They don't want to see some like manufactured version.
I remember I saw a Mel Robbins video and she was like in the bathtub with no makeup and she wasn't showing anything, but like she was just like talking about how she had a bad day or something like that. And I was like, oh, I love this video because it was like so real. And it's like, not that I was there in the bathtub with her, but like it makes you feel like you're like a friend and you're hanging out. And like she would be willing to tell you these things without like having makeup on or any of the things. And I'm like, she didn't look awesome, you know, which is great because like I don't always look awesome, you know. So I definitely would agree with that. Cool. So what, like, do you pick one platform or do you go multiple? Like, is it better to say, I'm going to conquer this Instagram thing? I know everyone talks about TikTok and I keep saying, well, you said it depends on where your client is. Like, I don't think financial advisors are hanging out on TikTok. I know some are. You guys I would love an email if you guys want to send support at robincrane.com or LinkedIn or something. And I would love to know, like, do you care about aesthetics? Look at my Instagram. Don't be like a jerk, but like, does it resonate? Is it, cause you know, my personality from the podcast, I feel like this is my personality. Like if this is not conveyed on my Instagram, and unless you don't like this personality, but I mean, let me know, because I'm kind of curious. And like, does aesthetics matter? Does it feel like it's all over the place? Do you want me on TikTok? Like, are you guys still on Facebook? Like, I don't know. Like, I tried to do a Facebook group for the longest period of time, and I was doing videos twice a week, and it's like, no one showed up to these videos. So I was like, dudes, if you're not going to show up for this awesome free content, I'm not going to do it. You know? So it's like, how do you figure that stuff out? And do you go multiple platforms, or do you like start with one and try to build your following there first?
Yeah. I think you got to lean in, and because each of them have their own nuances. And unless you have like a tremendous amount of time and a team dedicated to like managing all of the social platforms, I would rather go hard on one and get some traction and lift and then pivot, because when you dilute your focus, you dilute your results. Right. And so it can be really frustrating. You can get just like fatigued doing all of this because there's so much. And so I really encourage, pick one, then add to it. You can start to repurpose content too. So like once you figure out what's working well, you don't have to create fresh content all of the time too, because you figure as you grow, and even to begin with, the algorithm is only going to show your content to about 10% of the people that are following you right out of the gate. So like you can repurpose and reuse and refresh without having to constantly create. So once you've got that figured out, then you can start going to other platforms. But I do agree, like pull your audience, figure out where they are. Like it's really easy to send a survey to the people that are already in your community and just say, hey, like fill this out. I'd love for you to do it. Give them a gift card or eligibility to win a gift card if they participate. And then you have a lot.
10,000 people are eligible to win a $5 gift card if you fill out this. We'll submit you in the poll, in the drawing. Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like I try those things and I probably give up too easily, but I'm like, you know, send a message out and I'm like, please fill out this survey. And like, people don't open that crap, but I'm just making excuse after excuse. Like, what do you do with someone like me?
Excuses, Robin.
I know. Like, what do you do with someone like me who's like making these bullshit excuses? Like, how do you coach someone as like, you know,
yeah, I just make you do it.
Yeah, just do it. And then you probably have KPIs you're looking at. And see that, I think that's what's falling short too. And we're having our team start to look at those things, but it's like, we're always running so fast that like we do stuff and then we have no idea what's really working. You know, obviously we know like our paid advertising and stuff when it works and when it doesn't, but when it comes to organic, like it's really hard sometimes to like really know, are they the right people following? Are they doing the thing? Am I even asking them to do the thing? That's another.
Yeah. Well, I like geek out over the analytics. So like on all of these platforms, right? First of all, if you're going to actually do the social thing, like you need to be using a scheduling platform. You don't need to be like doing this in real time. It's ridiculous when there's so many tools and resources out there, but they all have like a back-end analytics dashboard. Yeah. So again, like when you're in the creation phase, you want to pay attention to like what is working and what is not. Double down on what is working and get rid of what's not. Going back to your content pillars, if you're creating a bunch of content about one thing and it's not doing well and you're not getting engagement, people aren't sharing it, they're not saving it, they're not commenting on it, like maybe that's not what they need to hear, right? Mm-hmm. And so like that gives you an indicator that maybe we need to go back to the drawing board on this, refresh this, create some new things, and then just go again. But there's so many wonderful things that you can look at. And then it just helps you make smarter decisions as you continue to grow and scale, which I appreciate.
Well, I just had a call with my coach who I hadn't worked with for a bit, but we worked together for like 10 years. And I was telling him, you know, kind of some challenges like that we're facing in our business with paid media and all this stuff that I think is very universal. Like those, you know, if you're listening, you're probably not doing a lot of paid advertising would be my guess. Cause when I was a financial advisor, I didn't do any. But this is kind of common right now, right? That like people are struggling with Facebook ads and things like that, or it's just getting more difficult. But he said that the big mistake that he has made, and he thinks, you know, also he's telling basically me that is it, he's like, you didn't celebritize yourself enough, you know, and like you, even to get speaking engagements, all these things, like what you did really well, it all leads to getting bigger opportunities, and those bigger opportunities, speaking engagements, or, you know, you getting in front of high like influencers or high level clients or prospects or whatever is from the brand. Cause that's what they look at. And we just redid our website. It took only 5 years. It was like one of those things. I have blocks around certain things when it comes to making choices about aesthetics. Like it freaks me out. So like I couldn't make decisions and it wasn't a money-making activity. The long-term play, like when it comes to branding, is always hard for me because I'm like, I know it's not going to produce results right away. So, and I'm an impatient person, as you may know from our initial conversation of 2 minutes of intensity. But it's hard for me to focus on like very long-term branding and long-term marketing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get the result. Right. But basically he was like, yeah, you got to celebritize yourself because otherwise you're going to be paying for ads and always in this rat race. And what you probably have that I don't is the luxury of not having to pay for ads and still being able to skyrocket your business because you have this incredible brand. So how do you choose that? How do you do that with like making those choices around long-term versus short-term? Because a lot of the branding stuff it's not going to happen overnight, right? It's going to be a very long-term play, yeah. Right?
It is a long-term play. I think what I've enjoyed with my clients, because the majority of the clients that I work with one-on-one through our Launch Your Brand package, we do a lot of intensive work up front, right? And then it's up to them to execute over the period of time. But what we do in that process is that we build their confidence in how they're showing up so that when they get online, when they get on stage for the first time, when they, you know, pitch themselves to the media, when they're doing these things, they know that they're buttoned up and that they have their talking points. They know where they're focusing. They know what their calls to action are, right? So they're, again, focusing on like, what's the reason? What's the ROI going to be on this investment of my time, energy, and effort? And we define that up front because we want to start with that end in mind. We want them to have confidence in the fact that when they do these things and they put themselves out there, they're well-packaged and there's a point and a purpose behind it. It's not just a vanity exercise. And mm-hmm. So it's going to make it easier for them to continue to build traction and momentum. And most importantly, they're prepared for when there are other opportunities too. And so, you know, as you've been talking about, like, you know, going after speaking or going after other opportunities to put yourself out there, like get ready for it, right? Nothing's worse than having a potential opportunity and then being like in a rat race or scrambling to pull all of your assets together, your talking points together, your media kit together, your pitch sheet together, whatever it is. Like you can create these in like an hour or so on Canva now. It's like beautiful and it looks great and it's buttoned up and you will stand apart from the crowd. So like take the time and do it right and just get it done. And that way it's available and it's ready. And that way when those opportunities do present themselves or you find one and you want to go after it, you already are separating yourself.
But when I was talking about the website, like it took me so long to finally do, but like even just since we've gotten the website out in the last few weeks, I got a new speaking engagement. I have some pending speaking engagements and we did our media kit as well, which I have all this credibility, but it's like, we just hadn't packaged it. And then, you know, we packaged it and I can just tell it's like so much easier to get the speaking engagements and get those opportunities. So
that does
matter. Yes, it does feel good. And finally get that weight off my shoulder. I literally said to the website team, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. We finally got it done after 3 years. And he's like five. And he sent me a screenshot of me filling out the onboarding form, like to a point where it wasn't even matching my brand anymore because it was so long ago. It was like 5 years ago. And I'm like, God, I'm saying it because I think that's what a lot of people come up against is like, you know, prioritizing time on something that's branding where you don't know. But I think what you're saying, besides like, hey, just suck it up and get it done. And probably I had to like not do it perfectly, which is a problem I think many of you probably have, but is to get it done. What I call dare to suck. Don't do it perfectly, but to have something, and you can use all these amazing tools like Canva and whatnot, and then like start putting yourself out there in a way where you have more opportunities. Like, cause other, like you wait and then you just miss all these opportunities.
Yeah. And you know, done is better than perfect, right? Like as you highlighted, you know, I mean, when we both started our podcast, right, we didn't know what we were doing. It's like we didn't go to professional podcasts. Yeah, but it's fun, right? But this talking, you're building your brand. Every time you show up, you're building your brand. And your brand isn't just the aesthetics, right? It's not just you know, what people see. It's the association, it's the network, it's the relationships, right? There's so much more to it. And I think when you can start looking at it from a holistic perspective of just how you're continuing to build your credibility so that you can attract the right people that you want to work with, it becomes less about you and more about them.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Okay. This is awesome. Anything else to add that we missed that they must know?
No, start small. Like, I think that's the other thing too. Like, people think that, okay, I'm going to do all of this work and it's going to be done. You're going to continue to evolve, right? So I think what's nice is like, get the document started, get the pitch sheet started, get the media kit pulled together, start, right? And allow yourself to evolve over time. Like, we're constantly growing, learning, acquiring new certifications, you know, letters behind our names, like whatever it is, but just continue to keep it updated as things happen, just like you would if you had a resume, like that you were constantly updating. Like, it's the same thing. So you just want to, as you accumulate logos, media mentions, everything, just continue to drop them in a file, keep everything organized. It makes it, again, a lot easier when there are other opportunities for you to put yourself out there.
And if that part of the branding stuff feels overwhelming, then, I mean, you could also, I'm sure you're familiar with Help a Reporter Out.
Yes. Love right? Harrow.
Harrow. So if you don't have mentions, like she's talking about, where you can use logos and such, because it really does help with your credibility. I mean, imagine like there's a lineup of all these financial advisors and you're the one, and we talk about having a book and all that, which is a really high branding play, but you have a book or you have mentions, like you've been quoted in Forbes and Fortune, all these magazines. And that's actually not that hard to do. So I like start small, but I would think about, well, what would actually kind of up-level your brand slightly. Maybe it's new photos. We just had an event where we had a photographer and she was taking, we have a new program called the Speak to Accelerate Success, a SaaS program. And we're helping build out those media kits and one sheets and photos and stuff, just like a little, like just enough. So we have clarity about, well, what's the talk? And not everybody wants to speak, but it's definitely like a path to faster success. But you might just, if you want to speak, great, then that's something you could do. But if not, it might be just like your header on your LinkedIn, you know, that's a little bit more credible, or you go try to like get some mentions using Harrow and you have a few quotes. And so you can put Forbes on your resume, so to speak. Right. So, cause I think that everyone in the financial industry, I'm saying everyone, you know, quote unquote, but like looks the same, you know, like the ones that stand out are the ones that have more credibility. And most of the advisors are like, well, I'm going to get the CFP at the end, like the letters at the end of my name. I got the same thing, like CFP, because I'm like, I want to stand out. But that doesn't necessarily do much if you're not also doing the marketing stuff and the branding stuff that helps you to stand out. So you got to do little components of everything. But even if you just do videos and you with your kids, like something so people can see you. I'll say one more thing, that like when I go and look for someone, like if I wanted to hire you branding, or if I wanted to hire someone around ads or anything, like I always try to find a video of them, because like, that's how I can get to know someone really, really fast. And when I'm getting on having conversations with financial advisors, like 99% of the time, and I know there's some compliance, but I bet you can get away, you know, out of, you know, away from compliance in regards to like having a video about you that's not about like guarantees on the market. But I go to these websites, financial advisors, I can't even find a picture of them, let alone a video. And I'm like, dude, like this is so not branded. And it's like all about the company and whatever. Nobody cares. Like if I can't even see your face, I can't even see your face. And I'm supposed to decide to work with you. So like, it's like, you got to, this is the archaic model of the financial industry, but like nobody wants that anymore.
No, they don't. They want to know who you are and feel like they can connect with you. And I do agree, like a solid headshot is worth the investment, and it's not hard or expensive to get it done anymore. So find a local photographer, make sure you know what you want it to look like, make sure they can deliver on that and get it done. Use it everywhere so people can start to recognize your picture, whether it's on LinkedIn or it's next to a quote or an article that you've contributed to, or whatever it may be. And then Harrow is a great resource. So is Quoted. There are some wonderful ways to just pitch reporters too. Like if you have a book, if you have some of these other wonderful brand materials for yourself, or even a great download from your website that you want to give to people, like don't be shy, pitch yourself to others that are, you know, creating lists, or if there's a you know, somebody that you enjoy, articles that you read, pitch them, say, hey, I'd love to offer advice. The next time you're writing an article on this, would you consider me? Boom, done, right? Like it's not hard. These are humans, right? I think sometimes we put the media in this bubble and we think they're not reachable or attainable. They are, they're looking for great resources. And so if you're a great resource, like put yourself out there. And once you get one under your belt, it makes it a lot easier to get the next and the next and the next. And before you know it, you're like, wow, I have so many, I can't even include them all here.
Yeah, like that's where we're at. Like totally, so many. Like I can hardly even include them all. That's awesome. Well, I think it's also just a commitment to thinking outside the box, because no one else in the industry is saying that stuff. Like it's starting, but like it's so archaic and ridiculous. Like they don't say those things. They're just saying go networking, build your relationships, centers of influence, ask for referrals, like just the old school stuff, you know? And so like welcome to the world of technology and social media. Like, let's embrace this and see what can you do instead of like, what's compliance going to not let me do so that I can stand out, actually have a personal brand and attract more ideal clients. Awesome. Tell them where to find you. This is great.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Please follow on Instagram at Allison Walsh. I'm there every day. Love it on there. Also on LinkedIn, same name. And then AllisonWalshConsulting.com is my website. There's a ton of information on there, a lot of brand resources, all kinds of goodies. And then my book comes out in September. So very excited. Wow. Publishing with Wiley. So looking forward to
all. What's it called?
Time to Shine.
Time to Shine. Ooh, I love it. Can't wait. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Allison. And thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time on Growing Your Financial Business the Woman's Way. Bye-bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.